Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Girls get so nervous and like scared and intimidated by like new girls that come into school and stuff.
Am I bad? Oh yes.
Girls are really rough on each other.
I'm bad, baddie, bad, bad, bad.
Oh, chill out. Chill out.
Hit me with your best shot.
You need to show this bully that you're not going to take any more stuff.
I don't care if you like us, because we don't like you. You're a bad person with an ugly heart.
She's a mean girl.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, most women agree that at some point in their growing up years, just about every young girl has to deal with a bully, a mean girl. Well, unfortunately, many of these mean girls grew up to be, well, mean women who continue to treat others around them poorly. Well, during the next half hour, I'll continue my conversation with author Haley DeMarco on the topic of how to handle this situation when mean girls become angry moms. So stay with us today here on Homeward.
Bullying in the workforce becoming even more common than bullying on the schoolyard? Well, on today's edition of Homeward, parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns is going to shed some light on this growing epidemic. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. In just a moment, part two of Jim's continuing conversation with Haley DeMarco. We're going to talk about when mean girls become angry moms. And these are topics that Haley has written about in her book, Mean Girls, about her own adolescence experience, and then Mean Girls All Grown Up, which is what we're going to be talking about today. Thanks so much for joining us today here on the program. And now, here's Dr. Jim Burns with part two. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Unfortunately, mean girls often grow up to be mean women, but you can learn how to live your life free from the pain that these mean women seek to cause you. Today's guest, Haley DeMarco. We have her back on. We're talking about when mean girls become angry moms. She's written a great new book called Mean Girls All Grown Up, Surviving Catty and Conniving Women. And Haley, welcome back to our program.
Thanks, Jim. Glad to be back.
It is great to have you. You're the founder of Hungry Planet. I love the fact that it's an organization designed to present God's truth in a distinctly modern voice through speaking and writing. I appreciate the fact that you are a new voice out there talking about really practical things. One of the things that you say is that all women experience meanness somehow directed to them.
Yeah, and I think men are shocked. They do.
No, it shocked me when you said it. And yet that's happened with my own family.
Yeah, it's true. You can talk to really anybody from age 14 on, and they're going to say they've had a mean girl problem somewhere in their lives. A lot of women I talk to still remember the mean girls in high school. It still haunts them. A lot of them say, you know, the mom in my preschool group is just driving me crazy. It's all about her kid, and my kid's done everything wrong. And so it just goes on and on in all the different niches where we find women interacting with women, there's going to be meanness.
So are you saying that all women are mean?
Yeah.
Amazing.
I've gotten in trouble for saying that. No. I think that we all have the capacity to be mean at the drop of a hat. It's that emotional trigger in us that, oh, we just want to get them back. We just want to get even. It's not necessarily always that we start it. There might be a really mean woman in your life, and you're very nice. You're not a mean person at all. But finally, it's just the last straw, and so you've got to get her back. And at that point, you become the mean girl.
Isn't that interesting? Sometimes the people who have been attacked actually become the attackers. Fascinating
right.
You'd say that. I'm thinking about the people who, in many ways, have been attacked by the mean girl or actually the mean woman also. And in your book, you have four distinct people who tend to get attacked more, and yet these are some of the most incredible people. Talk about those four types of people.
Yeah, these you'll see in kinds of work situations and maybe church situations that you wouldn't think you're doing anything wrong if you're this type of person because you're just getting your job done. But the truth is that it might come across as mean and it might cause other women to be mean to you. And the first one is the driven to succeed woman. Now, this is the kind of person you want in your employ. You know, she's really aggressive. She really knows what she wants, and she's probably a really hard worker and probably one of the most successful employees that you have. But the trouble with this driven to succeed woman is that for other women that might not feel that drive or that might not have that talent, they become a thorn in their flesh. They become something that makes them look bad, makes them feel bad, and they often retaliate because it might come across as meanness, to the other women who don't understand this drive. A lot of times I've talked to women who, you know, like, I don't have time to coddle these women. I've got to get this project through. And so I just tell them, get it done. I need it tomorrow. To the driven to succeed woman, that's just her going through the steps of getting what she has to, getting it done. But to the other woman on the other end of that, it comes across as meanness.
Well, what do you suggest to the driven woman who is actually probably getting a lot more done, but she seems that the people don't accept her and whatnot? What does she do?
Well, it takes a lot of conscious effort. You have to realize that you need all these people that you're working with. You need the women that aren't as driven as you. They're part of this team that you're working on. So the most important thing is that you have to think before you talk, because the driven woman tends to just spew out what has to get done, and she goes on and doesn't even consider the feelings of the woman that she's talking to. Now, I have a little bit of this tendency when I've worked in corporations, because I'm driven to succeed, and I forget about feelings. In fact, I've even at some point said, you know, feelings don't have a place in the corporate world. I believe I've probably said that a time or two before, and I confess and I repent, because the truth of the matter is we all have feelings, and so we have to think about the women that we're talking to and slow down and think about it. You know, is this going to hurt her? Should I first ask how her family is? Kind of, you know, do the dance to make this other person who's not like you want to work with you, because really the goal of the driven woman is to succeed, so she has to look at it almost as a game. Okay, I need this team. I want them to work with me. What's the best way that I can manage their emotions so that they'll then work their best with me and for me? So it's really a matter of slowing down, thinking about it, and addressing her differently.
Yeah, and actually that's good advice. I mean, I understand when you're saying game, but at the same time, that is a way to develop a relationship, obviously,
right.
is to care about the other person.
Well, a lot of times the driven woman doesn't want to make a relationship because all she's thinking about is one thing.
Right, right.
Which isn't necessarily healthy either.
One of the other areas that you talk about is the person who tends to get a lot of mean remarks and attacks is the person who's beautiful inside and out. Talk about that. I feel sorry for that person. They sound wonderful.
Well, and they probably are most of the time. You know, this happens in high school, and it also happens in the work world, and it happens, you know, at your MOPS group or, you know, all other places where you're with a bunch of women when you're incredibly striking and you might be really sweet, but there's that jealousy that flares up, especially when you're dealing with a group of married women who might be feeling a little bit like, oh, no, my husband's going to think, well, she's more attractive than I am. And I think the one thing I really want to encourage women to do is to understand the impact of their beauty and their bodies on other women and on the men around them. I find that a lot of times when you're dealing with a really beautiful woman, she doesn't realize the power of her body. She doesn't realize the power of her form. And so I encourage them to take a look at, you know, how much are you really showing? Part of being beautiful is realizing that you have to kind of protect the minds of the people around you. And so if your chest is showing, or if you're wearing kind of tight pants revealing, I mean, you have a beautiful body and know you want to show it, but that is causing a lot of resentment with other women and oftentimes causing them to gossip about you or slander you and be, in fact, mean to your face oftentimes. Yeah. So I think the beautiful women have a burden where they have to really, not that they should dress in a gunny sack, but really learn that they can't emphasize that and expect women to just think they're great and, you know, want them to come over and hang out with them and their husbands.
Great insight. You talk about driven, beautiful inside and out, but you also talk about assertive. What's the difference between driven and assertive?
Well, I think assertive a lot of times are just, they might not necessarily be driven by a passion in their job. They might just be, well, I know what I want today and I'm going to go get it. And you're not going to stand in my way. I'm just going to tell you what I want and move on. And, well, the world kind of says it's good to be assertive, to tell people what you want and to make sure that they give it to you. Again, I think that's probably the person that can get offended a lot, too, or be defensive because they've been taught, I need to stand up for what I want and go after it, and nobody should get in my way. And, in fact, I'll fix you if there's something wrong with you. And her focus is really probably more on the day-to-day tasks than a necessary goal that she has in mind. But it can be a lot like the driven woman. And so the same thing goes for them, and that is that you have to learn to slow down and find out what's going on. Again, creating these bonds and these relationships. Most of the people in the country, in this country where we live, want to be considered valuable, want to have a friendship. So,
well, it's a good lesson for somebody who is assertive, and if they're getting these mean attacks, then it may be that they do need to take that time.
That.
Good input. You also, and you talked about this in the last program, but I want you to just summarize it quickly. The shy person seems to get attacked a lot by mean girls and mean women.
Because the shy can look like arrogance. It can look like you're holier than thou, or you think you're better than the other person. So the shy person really has to make an effort to come out of their shell and make advances towards other women. You know, do you want to go to lunch? Talk to them. Don't look, walk around the hall or the church or wherever you might be with your eyes down, because it just looks like you're mean. You have to learn to make eye contact. It's so hard. I know it's so hard when you're shy. But if you want the mean to stop, it really requires a stepping out of your comfort zone.
It's a very interesting point. I was thinking about author Paul Coughlin, who we've had on the Homeward broadcast many times before. And Paul has this whole Protectors series. He talks about bullying and says that 85% of bullying would stop on the schoolyard if someone would just stand up to the bully and ask them to stop bullying them. Look them square in the eye. You don't have to get into a fist fight or anything like that. That's good advice from Haley DeMarco here on today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast. You're listening to parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns and his continuing conversation with Haley DeMarco, talking about what happens when mean girls become angry moms and this epidemic now of bullying among adults. You find it in the workforce, you find it at church, you find it in the neighborhood, and Haley's written a book about this that is worth looking into. And actually, she's written quite a bit about this. And if you visit our online resource center today at homeward.com, you'll find links to those resources. You know, Homeward is here to provide these answers for you. And many of these answers we can provide without cost. When you go to homeward.com, look at the articles and media section, for example. You'll find hundreds of tip sheets there, absolutely free.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
So, how'd it go?
As good as can be expected, I guess. But, you know, Deb, let's be honest here. Our daughter really blew it this time.
I know. I just feel so bad for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she just has such a tender heart. She could probably use one of your hugs about now.
Maybe I should check on her.
Yeah. Debbie, wait. Yeah, you know, give her another minute or two by herself and then go. She really needs to learn something from this, too.
You know, it's not unusual for a child to feel like crawling into a hole after being disciplined for something they've done wrong. But while your child might need a good pout every now and then, resist the temptation to let them stew for too long. And remember, Mom and Dad, no pouting from you either. I know parenting can be tough, but hang in there. It is definitely worth it. For a free copy of my tip sheet called Resolving Conflicts with Your Kids, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking with Haley DeMarco. When mean girls become angry moms, and there's a lot of people who struggle with anger. That doesn't mean that men aren't mean sometimes and that they're not angry, but we're talking about women today. And Haley DeMarco is an expert in this subject. She's the founder of Hungry Planet. It's an organization designed to present God's truth in a distinctly modern voice. Through her speaking and writing, she's a national speaker, has spoken with women of faith in Joy and Precepts, lives in Nashville with her husband, Michael. Haley, we were talking right before the break about the fact that a lot of us probably have some friends who can be mean, and we see that happening. Are we there to change them and correct them? I mean, do we bring it up? Maybe sometimes they've even been mean to us. What do we do?
Well, I think the first thing to understand is if you're hanging out, if you're spending all your time with a woman who's mean, or a girl who's mean, the chances it's rubbing off on you, or at least everyone else thinks you're mean. So there is a responsibility there that there might not be for, you know, a complete stranger. You have the opportunity to do the iron sharpens iron thing. So, yeah, I think that if you have a friend who's being mean, I hate the word confront because it sounds so selfish, really. You know, I'm going to tell you what you're doing wrong, and we're called in Scripture not to pass judgment on what people are doing. But by the same token, you know, we are called to judge certain actions that might be sinful. So with that confusing notion, I do think that if you have a friend who's being mean, it's your responsibility to kind of talk to her about it. Now, there's two different friends. You have a friend who's a believer, and you have a friend who's not a believer, and you're going to get different reactions from both of them, because really the foundation for what I'm talking about is Scripture, that we're called to love our enemies and to do good to those who hate us. Therefore, if you're talking to a believer, it's a lot easier because you have the power of Scripture to back it up, and she probably wants to be kind and loving and God-fearing and obedient, and so it's a lot easier to talk to her about it and to get it, see some kind of change, whereas if she's not a believer, what does she care? You know, she's still living in the world that says take care of yourself and fight for your rights. And in that scenario, I'd say that might be somebody you want to distance yourself from. Not that you remove yourself completely, but she shouldn't be your daily bread. She shouldn't be the person that you talk to every day, because that does tend to rub off on us.
That's great. Great input. If you're spending time with somebody who is bringing you down, it doesn't mean that you just drop them, but it means that you find other people who are going to build you up.
Right.
And typically, if you're spending a lot of time with somebody who is hateful and angry and mean-spirited, then obviously it's going to rub off
right.
on us.
Right.
You say in your book that the best way to treat a mean girl is to love her. They may not be your best friend, that maybe they're an acquaintance or they're somebody who's being mean to you. And you say in your book that we're to treat them with love.
Right.
How do you do that when at times you may be feeling anger or even
right.
some kind of hatred toward them?
Well, that's a really good question. And it's a very interesting question when you look at it from a biblical perspective, because we are called to love, right? We're called to love our enemies. And people think, how can God command me to love somebody? I don't feel like it. Well, the truth of the matter is, you can't be commanded to feel anything. I can't command you to feel giddy right now. You couldn't do it. I can't command you to feel anything. So the truth of the matter is, God is not commanding you to feel love. He's commanding you to act upon love. So the first thing we have to say is, get rid of that vocabulary, oh, I don't feel like it. Who cares? It doesn't matter how you feel. It matters if you're obedient or not. So you have to look at God's word and what he's saying when he says, I'm commanding you to love. That means I'm commanding you not to get revenge. That means I'm commanding you to care more for them than you do for yourself, which means you maybe find out if they have any needs and how you can meet them, which means you don't gossip about them. So it really becomes an exercise in, again, getting rid of self, because it's not about how you feel. And you might forever feel hurt or anger towards her, but you're not a hypocrite if you still walk in the direction of love, because that's simply being obedient to God's word regardless of how you feel.
Give us a practical illustration of loving a mean girl, what it might look like.
A lot of times the victim of the mean girl might be somebody who's really attractive. It might be somebody who's very popular, who has a lot of friends, who is successful at work. It's not always the underdog. So let's take that scenario of, you know, your life is great, and for some reason the mean woman is jealous or angry with you. One of the things that I like to tell women to do is give good gossip. And so that is when you see that she's maybe in the next cube, or she's around the corner, or she's within earshot, but she doesn't know that you can hear, say something nice about her. Like, gosh, she looked really cute today, didn't she? Or, I love the way she treats her kids. She's such a good mom. Those kind of things are, first of all, shocking to the other woman, because she expects you to be mean, because she already doesn't like you. So I think kind of just flipping the table and doing things like that that throw people off will make them rethink maybe their
position
on you.
That's good input. No, I appreciate that. That's good input. Hey, in your book, you've got something called 10 Clues Your Friend is Bad News. Give us kind of an overview of that and what to look out for with that other woman potentially. And I think this actually relates to some men as well.
Yeah. Well, in the book, that section is really fun to read, because as you read through it, you can say, gosh, I do feel like this after I leave that friend. If you walk away from a friend and you feel less than when you were, you know, when you got together with her, you feel like, gosh, there's just something, what's wrong with me? I feel worse now than I did before. She might be a mean girl. If she's, for example, you go to her and you say, oh, I can't believe I got this project and I was so excited about it and now I get to be the one to do it. And she's more jealous than happy for you. She's a mean girl. If she never can forgive you, she just thinks that everything that you've done can't be forgiven, but she needs to be forgiven. She's probably a mean girl. You can see in all these scenarios, it's not a healthy relationship. Again, when God says to love your enemies, this girl's your friend. This girl's your best friend. So the way you're loving her might be a little bit different than the way you're loving, say, somebody who's actually your enemy.
Now, let's take it from another angle. Many of our listeners may say, you know, I'm not really dealing with a mean girl right now, but I've discovered through our conversation that I am one of those people. Talk about what a mean-free woman looks like and what should she shoot for?
Well, I think all the things we've been talking about, you know, shooting for not being gossipy and not getting revenge, not even being offended, I think can oftentimes be kind of a mean response. The crucial thing to remember is that you might have been mean in the past. You might have done some stuff unknowingly, but now is your chance to change. So in the book, we do kind of have this non-proliferation of mean that we go through, and it's kind of a commitment to say, you know, I'm not going to be defensive. I'm not going to be easily offended. I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to be afraid to look stupid, because a lot of times we get mad and we get mean because we look stupid and we're so embarrassed that we kind of retaliate. And then, of course, the seeking revenge. I won't give you the whole 10 of them. There's a laundry list of things that we can do to avoid mean. But really the important part is to recognize that you've done it and to decide to change, which is really repentance, and to say, I'm now ready to be obedient, even if it kills me. I'm going to be obedient to God's word, so I'm going to repent. And part of that is to go back to the women, and this is part of all the 12-step programs, to go back to the women that you have been mean to and to confess to them what you did and that you don't want to, you know, you're changing your life and you're not going to be like that anymore. So I think it's there's hope there. You don't have to be like that anymore. And remember, God's grace covers all the sins that we're asking for forgiveness for. So we ask God for forgiveness and the women for forgiveness, and we're free. We're free to move on.
It really is a spiritual issue. I mean, whether we are mean-spirited or whether we're receiving that, it really comes down to the fact that this is a battle between the flesh and the spirit, and it's a spiritual battle. And in fact, it comes down to getting comfortable with God and His Word.
Right. And I talk about that. You know, the battle isn't between flesh and blood. It isn't. It looks like it's a battle between you and her, but it's not. It really isn't. It's a spiritual battle. It's the battleground where you prove, are you going to be faithful or not? And I have in the book several opportunities that the women can look up scripture that might help for some of the problems that they're going through. And I think that just the continual washing with God's word and the truth, telling yourself the truth is so hard for women. We have a tendency to emphasize the negative, to emphasize what really isn't true. It isn't true that your life's in the hole because she doesn't like you. It isn't true that everything's a mess because she's mean. That isn't true. The truth is that God knew this was coming and He has a reason for it. And so if we can focus on His word and His truth, we're going to be so much happier.
Fabulous. Haley, thank you for being with us today.
You bet. I loved it.
And that concludes part two of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with Haley DeMarco here on the Homeward Broadcast. We've been talking about what happens when mean girls become angry moms, and these are principles that Haley writes about actually in two different books. The first book that we ever saw from Haley came out a few years ago called Mean Girls, and it talks about her experience being bullied as an adolescent. And then this other book that we were discussing more in-depthly today, Mean Girls All Grown Up, and that's where you get the whole concept of bullying in the adult world. And Jim, I know this is kind of a new phenomenon in the media. When we hear bully, the first thing we think of is middle school, but it's happening more and more with adults and especially women, you know, kind of taking it out on each other. And this is a fascinating conversation.
It actually, frankly, amazes me that there's that many mean-spirited women out there, but they sure seem to say that there is. But I think there's also mean-spirited men, so we're not just putting it on the women, but it seems like this is a heart topic for a lot of women today. Well, you know, the old phrase, what would Jesus do? People were wearing bracelets a couple of years ago.
Right.
I don't think we're wearing bracelets as much. Maybe it's out of fashion, but the words are not out of fashion. What would Jesus do? And so when someone is mean, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus respond? One of the most incredible scriptures, it's in Haley's book, is found in Philippians 2, 3, and 4. And it's actually this incredible section of scripture, the Philippians 2 section. But 3 and 4 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but to the interest of others as well. A person who's mean has a story. There's something that's hurt inside them. They're damaged. They're in pain. And so what we have to do actually is, I think, get inside that other person. I don't think we have to necessarily become best friends, but I do think we need to treat them with honor, even when they're putting us down. And I think Haley conveyed that very well. Another one is Romans 15:1. And it says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not just please ourselves. It's pleasing for me. If someone was mean at me, then I want to be sarcastic. I want to get them back. I want to dig it in. And yet what this is saying is that if you can be strong, then bear with the failings of the weak and not just please ourselves. I mean, these are frankly weak people. These are people who are hurting. These are people who are making a mistake in terms of the way they do relationships. So don't just pour it back on them, even though that's our natural tendency. Great thinking today, but what would Jesus do when someone is mean to you? How would you treat them? I think it's great stuff. And I think Haley has a number of things in her book that's probably worth someone looking at if they have struggled in this area.
That's a good reminder, Jim. And just before we leave the air today here, I want to remind you the title of that book is Mean Girls All Grown Up, and you can find it at your favorite Christian bookstore. It's also available online. Just do a little Google search. Maybe you can find it on Amazon or ChristianBook.com. There are lots of places where you can get these resources. But we are here as a conduit, if you will, to help you get connected with those resources. So as we can share our information with you, then you can get connected with the resources that you need. And you can also go to Homeward.com if you're not there already. Look at the articles and media section of our website. You can also sign up for our free daily online devotional, a nugget of encouragement and a Bible verse from God's Word, courtesy of Dr. Jim Burns and the staff here at Homeward. There are tens of thousands of people who get this devotional every day. You can join that group as well. And if you're looking for a quick and easy to use devotional, go to homeward.com, start your free subscription today to our daily online devotional. Well, please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your ongoing financial support of Homeward. You can give a gift through our secure website at homeward.com. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. You can also friend me on Facebook, and if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can now get my tweets, 140 characters of positive words about parenting, marriage, and faith. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.